How can we possibly be consoled? Parshas Ve'eschanan is always coupled with Shabbos Nachamu, where we get our Nechama. Hashem gives us a consolation. A consolation for what? For the horrible days of the 3 weeks. Through the tragedies which we went through. Through the destruction of our temple. We sit on Tisha B'Av. We mourn. We are downtrodden. We are heartbroken. And then we come out of it. The Beis HaMikdash stops burning on Yud Av. And we're consoled. The obvious question is what is the consolation? How could we possibly be consoled? It's not like a regular situation where someone passes away and that's it. They're gone. The consolation from that comes from time, comes from appreciating they're in a better place. They're in the next world. There's no consolation if someone isn't going to be in Olam Haba. They're not going to be in a better place. It's just you lost them. Where's the consolation? You have different things when a person passes away, the pain going, knowing it's not coming back, and knowing really that they're going in a better place. Like some of them in Haggai Avelis, you eat eggs, you eat lentils, because that reminds you it's a circle. Nothing is lost or gained ultimately. They really go to something more. So that's a consolation. Here, when we come to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're still in the same place. We're still sitting. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the temple. We don't have the place where we can connect to Hashem. We don't feel the spirituality like we feel the physicality. We don't see miracles. We don't see how anything changed, got better, and is any different than it was before. That's the first obvious question when you come to Shabbos Nachamu, Parshas Ve'eschanan, that you have to address. It's the definition of the whole entire Shabbos. It's the definition of this time period. There are seven haftarahs about the Nechama, about us feeling connected yet again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what is the Nechama? What is the appreciation we should have? As you go on in the Parsha, and you try and figure out what this Parsha has to do with the consolation, you see an unbelievable thing when we start off. It says, Ve'eschanan el Hashem ba'eis hahi le'moy, that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded to Hashem at this time, saying, Hashem, please let me into Eretz Yisrael. Let me in to your amazing place where I can help bring the ultimate redemption, the ultimate geula, take Klal Yisrael out of all the exiles for all of history. And we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's request is denied. Now, how many times did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Right? We're coming in to the picture over here. But how many times did he daven? The Bnei Yeshua makes a cheshbon that of the fact that Chazal tell us he davened 515 times, which is Gematria Ve'eschanan, 515, which is also Gematria Tefillah and Shira, prayer and singing and Yeshara, straightness. We see the greatness of this unbelievable act of Moshe Rabbeinu, that this was the pinnacle, the definition, and the absolute encompassing of what prayer is. It was 515 from Tu B'Av till Zayin Adar when he passed away. 515 tefillahs, not including Shabbosim, because you can't pray on Shabbosim for your own needs. So you see Moshe Rabbeinu gave himself over. Now a prayer for Moshe Rabbeinu is not a prayer that we know. A tefillah, you have to go in the morning, go to Shacharis. You have to pick up your kids after. You have to drop them off. You have to go to work. Hopefully, it's a 40-minute Shacharis, and hopefully you got there on time, and hopefully you paid attention. Hopefully your head wasn't spinning. From the times of the Gemara, we already know that Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Erevin, that in respect to tefillah, we are all drunk without wine, as in, it's so hard to concentrate due to everything that's going on in our lives. A tefillah for us, if we focus for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's next level. Rav Volba and Ali Shor explains that if a person will be able to sit down for 5 minutes before tefillah and focus themselves, b'miyashiv der das, have a certain meditative state where I know what I'm doing, I know who I'm going in front of, I know how great this opportunity is, they would be one of the gedolim. He says we should all be able to sit for a minute, hopefully a minute, and focus our prayers, focus our minds, focus our state of being to a prayer state. There's a famous maisa with Avshalom Shadron that he was once walking inside the shuk, inside the marketplace, and he was looking at apples. Looking, this apple, that apple, what should he buy for his family, for himself, for lunch? Which one is his wife going to like? And all of a sudden he feels someone comes and hits him. Boom! What's going on? He looks around. Didn't know where that came from. And then he's looking for another apple. A couple seconds later, boom, he gets hit. He puts his duke up. Thinking, what's going on? Well, I'm going to take them down. I'm going to protect myself. Pikuach nefesh. And then he hears a slight murmur. Slach, lo avin ki chatanu, machanu ki vashanu. Shalom Shadron said that he realized he wasn't in the shuk. He was in Shmona Esrei. But his mind took him to the shuk. His mind took him to apples. His mind took him to the grocery store. Because concentrating in tefillah is very, very, very difficult. We have to do everything we could. The more we put in, the more we will get back. But it's no easy task. Again, from times in the Gemara, they talk about how difficult this is. Nefesh HaChaim, in his long piece in tefillah, in Shar Beis, in the middle says, yeah, but in the end of the day, it's very, very, very hard to concentrate in prayer. Try and do what you could. Learn this Sfarim, listen to Shirim. Make your preparations, but it's hard. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, his prayer, was nothing less than absolute nullification, becoming one with Hashem, that he is none, and Hashem is everything. His desires are not, Hashem's is everything. The tsar, the pain of the Shekhinah, of Hashem's presence in this world, is what's triumphant. And his personal will falls to the ground, because it's all about Hashem. Each tefillah was something that he gave his blood, sweat, and tears into. This was the person. The person who was above and beyond. He was a person who lived with Hashem. Where Hashem came to him at any time to talk, to get a nevuah, unlike all other Nevi'im. His face shone with spirituality. Something beyond this world. When this person davened, his tefillah was not him going through the shuk and feeling a slach lanu. It wasn't that he was drunk without wine and completely distracted. It wasn't that he was thinking about all his enormous amounts of responsibility for a nation in the desert living on miracles. It was a complete, single-minded focus, complete attachment and love for Hashem. It was the yichud room every single time. Just like in the yichud room, there's the chasen and kala. There's an extreme love and there's nothing else. Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a tefillah was next level. It was only him and Hashem, nothing else. 515 of those. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets turned down. Famous question is, what are we supposed to learn from this? How are we supposed to understand it? It should give me yish. It should give me self-doubt. If Moshe Rabbeinu and his great tefillahs can't accomplish what he wanted, Hashem says, stop. I'm not giving it to you. Then me in my life, with my desires, my wants, my needs, what am I supposed to gain? Rabbi Rudinsky Shlita always asks this question. How can I learn from this? What am I supposed to gain? What's the Torah teaching me? Seemingly, it's just something which is making my life harder and not something I can gain from. The question of Moshe Rabbeinu becomes even greater. We look in the Gemara, in Brachas Lambeis Ambeis. The Gemara says, what is greater? Maisim Toivim, good deeds, good acts of kindness, helping another Jew, or tefillah, or prayer, connecting to Hashem, talking to him. The Gemara says, we learn from this story of Moshe Rabbeinu that prayer is greater. Because when we come to tefillah, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was answered in this week's parsha when he prayed. But we see, due to his good acts, he didn't get answered. It was only once he prayed. So we see tefillah, prayer is greater. The obvious question is that Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers were not answered. He was only able to see Eretz Yisrael. He didn't actually enter inside Eretz Yisrael. His desire was to go in the land, to take part of it, to be in God's holy palace, Eretz Yisrael. And he didn't get what he wanted. So the obvious question is why and how does the Gemara learn from this instance that Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact Zoyche, that he merited to get an answer for his prayers? He didn't. We learned that prayer is greater than chesed because Moshe Rabbeinu was answered with his prayers, not due to his chesed. But he wasn't answered. He didn't get into Eretz Yisrael. His only desire was to get into Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't get it. What is the Gemara teaching us? What is it saying? There's another strange Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, explains the Gemara in Saita and Daf Yud Dalet, that I want to go into the land. And Hashem says back, why do you want to go into the land? Moshe Rabbeinu says, because I want to do the holy mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs of Tuluyas Ba'aretz. So Hashem says, no. You don't want the mitzvahs of Tuluyas Ba'aretz. You want the schar, the reward. And I'll give you the schar and the reward. I'll give you that which you want. Don't worry about it. So the question is what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu wants the reward. It would answer the other Gemara, which seems to say his prayer got answered if his prayer was for a reward. But that's very, very strange that Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all men, is the one who's asking for a reward. There's a famous Mishnah in Avos that says, do not be a servant of God in order to get reward. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moser HaTorah, the giving, the one who gave the Torah, is now going against one of the basic principles in the third Mishnah in Avos that you're not supposed to do mitzvahs to get reward. Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me into land so I can do mitzvahs. Hashem says, you want reward, and I'll give you that reward. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu went against the basic principles? Can't be. What is the Gemara saying? And this all is the puzzle of these first few psukim in this week's Parsha, which is Shabbos Nachamu. You go on in the Parsha, and a few psukim in, it says, I'm going to teach you the Chukim Mishpatim, you should go over them. V'ata Yishal Shema L'Chukim Mishpatim. I'm going to teach you the Chukim Mishpatim, which means two different natures of laws, the logical laws, the ones we understand the reasons, and the ones that seemingly are perplexing and not understood to us. Later on in the Parsha, when it talks about these laws, it says that I'm teaching you these laws in order that you should fear God. That's the purpose of the mitzvahs? To have a fear? If we all stop for a moment and think about our relationship vis-a-vis our parents, or if we're parents vis-a-vis our children, do we want them to do our will out of fear or in order to fear? That's what Hashem wants of us. This is the desire. We would never want for our own children to serve us out of fear. Maybe as a technical tool that they shouldn't do dangerous things, detrimental things, negative things to themselves. We would want a certain fear that stops them from negativity. That's what we would want. We wouldn't want fear in the relationship. We wouldn't want fear when they get older. We wouldn't want fear to be part of the home construct. Hashem says, what is the purpose of the mitzvah? In order that you should fear me. So strange. Fear, as the Rambam says, fear of God in terms of fearing punishment, is one of the lowest forms of serving him that we can have. If you say, oh, I'm not going to do this, or I will do this, so I do go to Gan Eden or don't go to Gehenna, and that's the construct of your Yiddishkeit, it's a very low level to childish Yiddishkeit. You get candies when you do this, you get pops when you do that. Is it something? Yes. Should you use that tool at times? Yes. But when Hashem's defining his relationship with us, that is not the tool we want. That is not the format we want it to be set in. What in the world is the Torah teaching us here? How are we supposed to process and understand this? You go on in the Parsha, and it says a very, very powerful pasuk, V'atem advekim Hashem Eloheichem, chayim kuchem layim. Hashem, you are stuck to you. We are stuck to you. You are stuck to God. You are stuck to Hashem, your God. And you live a true life. Chaim kuchem ayom. Why is this pasuk stuck here? What's its context in the greater scheme of the Parsha? And the Chazal tell us that what does it mean to be stuck to Hashem, to be davuk to him, to connect? You can't directly connect to him. It says, connect to Tamid HaChamim. So it's really a map of how you can connect to Hashem. How does that fit into this puzzle called Parshas Veschanan, Shabbos Nachum? You go on in the Torah, and it says a very interesting thing. It talks about Sinai, where we got the Torah, Har Sinai, what we saw, what we connected to, how we became the ultimate people of history for history. And then it goes on with Avodah Zarah. Many, many psukim of Avodah Zarah, idol worship. How Hashem, it says, the Torah here and earlier in Shemois says, Hashem is a jealous God with a burning passion. Scary. But we get it. There was a lot of idol worship in the world, and there was a lot of forms of idol worship. How were we supposed to resist what the rest of the world was doing? Hashem warns us very harshly. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a breach in the relationship. No matter what your excuses are, you go worship an idol, it's a breach in the relationship. Okay, I get that. I get it. I get the repetition. It's like in a regular relationship. The wife or the husband has to make very clear when something bothers them. Communication. The number one rule for having a good relationship is having good communication. And good communication means not that you're sitting and schmoozing on the couch. It means that when I have a need, I'm able to express that need. And when my spouse has a need, she's able to express that need. And then we can give to each other in the proper way, and we cannot hurt each other in the proper way. Chas v'shalom, to hurt your spouse. As common, unfortunately, as it is for people to make mistakes. But it should be a chas v'shalom. It's a breach in the relationship, and the shechinah is in the home. Either way, that's the main thing in a relationship, to understand what the other person's needs are. What hurts them, what helps them, what can make us grow together. So Hashem tells you, this is my need. No Avodah Zarah. I told you already in the Seder Dibros, no Avodah Zarah. You have to stay away from that. Okay? Then we find one very interesting pasuk. V'nishmartem me'oid l'nafso sheichem. You should guard yourself a lot. Guard your souls a lot. Ki lo ra'isem kol temuna b'yoyim diba Hashem aleichem v'chayim mitecheish. That you shouldn't see any kind of tfuna, no image. Fine. You have the regular Avodah Zarah. Now it says, now you have to be very guarded not to do any kind of image. What's this extra level? You have to be very, very careful about what's happening here. What's the next level thing we're talking about? Besides all the general warnings, which is so repetitive here, we have the extra, Hashem is an extra pasuk. Be really careful about this. What's the really careful? The Torah is coming to tell us. And there's so many fascinating psukim and lessons and ideas in this week's Parsha. We come to, probably, the pinnacle of Judaism. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is Elokeinu, our Lord. Hashem, that same God, is Echad, has complete oneness to Him. This is what we call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You accept the yoke of heaven upon you. Why is accepting the yoke of heaven upon us, where we say God is the complete master of the world, I accept His kingship, why is that connected to V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha? V'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol v'avcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'adecha. To love God with all your heart, with all your possessions, everything you have, with all your soul. What's the connection between pledging our sovereignty? You go into North Korea. You pledge your sovereignty to the leader. Don't yawn when you're in a meeting with him, because someone who once yawned at a meeting with him, he took up against the wall, put them against the wall. It was either with a tank or regular RPG and fired a missile at him. They blew him up. You have to have complete allegiance to the leader of North Korea. Okay. How does that now relate to me pledging my sovereignty, my allegiance to God in Shema, accepting the yoke of heaven upon me now that I love Him? I'm a soldier. A soldier doesn't have to love the leader. Maybe he'll have to smile at him and pretend it. But here, there seems to be some innate connection, a direct correlation, a lead-in from accepting the yoke of heaven to loving God and then teaching your children Torah, and then mezuzahs and tefillin, putting it on your heart and your head, how does it all start from accepting the yoke of heaven to putting it on our doors, to having it in our homes with our kids? What is the connection between that and the love of God? It can't just be not direct, because it's a part of the structure in the psukim, and as well as what we say every single day, twice a day. The most basic thing of a Jewish person in his life are these few words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So how can we understand it? So in order to wrap this all together, we're going to bring a story and then explain the fundamentals of the Parsha, the fundamentals of our lives, the fundamentals of Shabbos Nachamu. I was once in a shul where I had spoken, and someone came up to me, a man with a long beard and payas, who I'd never spoken to. It's a shul across the street from my in-laws in Ramat Beit Shemesh. This man runs the Tehillim group in the shul. I always see him in Shabbos afternoons with the children, a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I never spoke to him, Israeli person. I don't get to speaking to every single person, but I've been at my in-laws. I've been married for almost 12 years. And I've seen him around, never had a chance to speak to him. So he came up to me to thank me for something I had said, a Dvar Torah. So I got speaking to him, I heard he had a little accent. I said, oh, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm actually from Russia. So based off his age, probably around 70s, I realized that he must have been there before the Iron Curtain fell. So I said, wow, were you there then? He said, yeah. I said, how did you stay religious? How did you live as a Jew in those difficult circumstances? He says, well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really a living Jew. I was technically Jewish, but I wasn't really a living Jew until later in my life. I said, well, what's the story? So he said that he was completely secular. No bris milah, no Shabbos, no kosher, no kippah. There was nothing Jewish about him except for his lineage and his name, Levine. I said, fascinating. What happened? He said, I went to the Russian army. That's a completely secular Russian. No connection to Judaism. And I thought there, I'm going to be, you know, one of the boys, one of the soldiers. But see, right from the beginning, they would call him Ivri, Jew boy. And obviously, to be excluded like that doesn't make you feel good, especially when you have no identity with the identity they're identifying you as. So he said, okay, probably because I'm a newbie. As he was in the army for a couple of years, he built himself up to one of the highest ranking snipers, one of the most skilled and precise professionals at what he did. He told me I was able, from a distance, to shoot a hole in something and then shoot a bullet in that same hole. Chor b'tochor, as he said. One hole inside of another one. One bullet inside of another bullet. The most skilled sniper you could imagine. So he says now that he made it, he thought he'll be defined differently. But he didn't find that to be true. He said at the end of the army service, they were getting together an event where everyone would be given their accolades and their status and a praise. And they're going through each person and he's sitting there excited to get his pump up, to get his definition, to be one of the regular soldiers. And not one of the regular soldiers, one of the best soldiers. And when they got to him, they didn't say you were the best sniper. They didn't say you were the best soldier. They didn't say you were the toughest guy. They said, ah, this is the Ivri soldier. This is the Jewish soldier. And he was crushed. He was destroyed. He was downtrodden. He was in the darkest place. He had given everything to the Russian army, everything to the Russian nation, everything to what he believed in at that time. And he had nothing in the Jewish world, the Jewish God, the Jewish nation. And he was being put down for something he had nothing to do with. And everything which he built up was nothing in their eyes. So he said to himself, what is going on here? I'm a Jew. And I'm getting all the negatives for being a Jew. And I'm not getting any of the positives. So he went immediately after the army. And he got a bris milah. And he started keeping Shabbos. And despite the fact that religion was forbidden at that time in a real open fashion, he started learning how to daven, started learning how to learn. Because Hashkacha had it, that there was a Chabad shliach next door to his apartment where he lived. And he met him. The Chabad shliach gave him sidurim, gave him tefillin, gave him Torah to learn, taught him the tremendous hashkacha, tremendous divine providence, God's hand coming and scooping this person, Rabbi Levine, up and taking him along with him along the way. Should make us realize how much Hashem is looking out for every single solitary Jew. Sometimes we will see it in a clear way, like this person getting crushed in the Russian army, being put down, feeling like he's in the darkest place, and that giving him the greatest light. From the greatest darknesses in your life will come the greatest lights. From the greatest challenges will come the greatest uprisings. From the biggest falls will be the biggest pick-me-ups. This man is a shining star, a lesson to us that we can look at. That Hashem is always taking care of every single one of us. Hashem is always thinking about every single one of us. Hashem is there for us at all times. And this is not only a lesson for now. It's a lesson throughout all of history. And history means every single second of your life. You have to appreciate Hashem right now. Thank Hashem right now. Live with Hashem right now. Hashem's taking care of me. Hashem loves me. He's looking out for me. Even when you feel he's not, even when you feel like you're getting put down, Hashem's there for you. Next time you're going through a hard time, take a moment. Say, Hashem loves me. This is difficult. And I feel it's difficult. And I feel the pain. And I understand why Hashem's doing it. But Hashem's looking out for me. Hashem's there for me. I have to trust in him. Hashem loves me. You have to remember that in every single day of your life. Every single moment. Every single hour. Every single instance. Every single interaction. Hashem loves you. Hashem's with you. Hashem cares for you. You're a father, you love your children. Hashem loves you a billion times more than that, infinitely more than that. You're a son, you love your parents. Hashem loves you infinitely more than that. Any relationship you can possibly define, Hashem loves you more than that. That's the lesson here. He's taking care of you, you have to learn to trust in him. You come to this week's Parsha on Shabbos Nachamu. The end of the Parsha tells us something astounding. Hashem says, it is not because you are many that I love you. It is because you are little that I love you. Not because of your great numbers. Chashak Hashem b'chem. Hashem desired you. Yivchar b'chem, and he chose you. Because you're little. Ki mi'av Hashem eschem. Because Hashem loves you. It says, not because you're great, really you're little. Just tell me. Why does it say, not because you're great, really little? Just tell me. Despite the fact you're little, I still love you. But it doesn't say why I love you. So what's the Torah doing? The Chalakar says, Loi mirubchem. Not because of your great schar, not because you did so much, not because you're so amazing, does Hashem love you. And he says, V'loi ki etem at mikol amim. Not because you have the least amount of sins. That's not why I love you. Yes, you have the most schos and the most merits. Yes, you have the least avodas, the least sins. That's not why I love you. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem. Just because I love you. Hashem doesn't love you for what you're doing. Hashem doesn't love you for your actions or your great deeds and accomplishments. Hashem loves you just because you're a Jew. Hashem loves you because you're part of the Jewish nation. Because you come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That love, that eternal bond, should empower everyone of us with a feeling of love for Hashem. That which the way someone relates to you, you relate to them. If you realize how much Hashem loves you, how much he's thinking about him, he's taking care of you, you're going to love him back. This is the lesson of Shabbos Nachamu. This is the lesson of the Parsha. This is the lesson of our lives. Rav Yaakov Emdin and the Yair Tavash say, Rav Yonason Eibeshitz, that the greatest miracle in history was not the miracles of Egypt, was not the miracles of Kriyas Yamsu, the splitting of the sea, was not the miracles of Har Sinai. Those are not the greatest miracles in history. They are astounding, unbelievable, teaches about God. The greatest miracles in all of history are all the pogroms, the Holocausts, the Spanish Inquisition, the exiles, all the horrible things that have been done to us throughout history. And we still survive. We're still here. No other nation has been persecuted like this, has been hated, has been gone against, has been put down, has been beaten, battered, murdered, destroyed, obliterated, blood spilled like water. Never was there such a nation. And the miracle's more than that. More than surviving, we have always been thriving. There has always been a religious base in all circumstances through all of history. Hashem has been holding on to us tight, saying, I will make sure you survive physically. I will make sure you survive spiritually. What's Vatem Advekim? It says that we attach to Tamir Chachamim. Why is it so critical in this parsha, parshas, and Chanan and Shabbos Nachamu? Why is it so critical? Because you have to know that those Tamir Chachamim are what's keeping the spiritual energy alive. Throughout every generation, no matter how many Amaratim there are, how many laymen there are, how many religious there are, they're always Tamir Chachamim. And besides the physical living that we have, the physical survival, we have the spiritual survival, and that's through the Torah scholars who have to live and appreciate and attach to. Make them imbued into our daily actions, our masa and mata, and marry their children. Make sure you're attached to the source of the living Judaism, of the living spirituality, of the living God in this world. Hashem is pumping His life force through them. Chaim kulchem ayom, you're living. Life is the one who's attached to God. How do you attach to God? Through the Talmid Chachamim, through the staples of those who helped us survive throughout history. You go on in the Parsha, and you have Moshe Rabbeinu. He davens to Hashem. We said he's not answered. But the Gemara says he is answered. Says he wants schar, but you can't want schar. Says you're not allowed to ask for schar. Explains of Tzaddik HaKoyim, Divrei Sofer from Dalet, that the definition of schar in this Gemara is not the prize that you get something nice. The real definition is we say to Hashem, Hashem, I want to be attached to you. I want the Dveikus. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem, I want to do those mitzvahs. And Hashem said back, you don't want to really do those mitzvahs. You really want the connection to me. And you have gained the ultimate connection through your tefillah. The purpose of tefillah is not that which we achieve, which we want. The purpose of needing things that we want is so we can be connected to Kadosh Baruch. It says the Nachash was punished that you're going to only eat of the dust of the earth. You won't need to go get food. It'll all be right in front of you. Asks Rav Simcha Bunim of Shishcha, that's the greatest schar. You don't have to go get food. All the animals are chasing food. All people are chasing food. Why is that a punishment? Explains the Heilige Rav Simcha Bunim that the greatest punishment one can have is that he wouldn't need to daven. That he wouldn't be dependent on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he would just have what he needs and never think, where am I getting it from? This is the greatest punishment we could have. It would be a cutting off from Hashem. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you daven 515 times. I will give you what you want. Because what you want is the great Dveikus. And through your tremendous efforts, you have achieved the Dveikus that you would get as if you had gone into Eretz Yisrael and performed all the mitzvahs. You are going to get the greatest level of connection because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. When he was all of Bereisha Pisgah, he was getting the connection which he wanted so badly. So the greatest thing to connect to Hashem we see is the tefillah, is the prayer. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, Chai Shah, it's our basic life force. It's our basic way of surviving. What kind of survival? Not the physical survival. The spiritual survival. When you go to daven three times a day, you go to daven once a day, you're in traffic and it's frustrating, you say a prayer. Stop for a second and say, I need to connect to Hashem. I don't need the traffic. The traffic's a conduit, is a way that I can now connect to Hashem this very moment. I'm with Hashem. That's what prayer is. That at any single moment, you can connect. And the Ramban says, when you're in a difficult time, that's the biggest chi of deraisa. That's the highest level Torah obligation to daven. Why is that so? Because that's when you feel you're dependent upon Hashem. As the Maral says in the Siva Avodah, that a person is an Oved Hashem when he's dependent upon him. That's what an Eved is. I'm dependent upon you. I'm with you. An Eved, a servant of God, is one who's dependent upon him. That's what tefillah is. We're hanging on Hashem. So when is the Chiyuv Daraisa of the Daven? We need Hashem so badly. And according to the Rambam, every single day, once a day, you need a Daven Midaraisa. One of the limudim is Parshas Veschanan. So the lesson is that Hashem loves you for who you are. And He's taking you throughout history. He's there with you. Don't lose sight of that. Know that He loves you. Know that you just, the goal is to connect to Him, like we started with the Parsha. Then we come to V'nishmartim ha'oz nafshecheim, guard your souls from what? Kol temuna. Any single thing. Says the Ashur HaKadosh, you may want to start putting up images of God in your house. Something which can remind you of Him in a visceral, physical way. Maybe the malachim, angels. Get a description of an angel and put a picture of him. I want to connect to God through this. I need something real. Says Ashur HaKadosh, V'nishmartim ha'oz nafshecheim, guard your souls very much. Never in life think there's a replacement for Hashem. Never think, I'll put a picture of my wife and then I won't need to talk to her at dinner time. Never think, I'll do this mitzvah and then I'll ignore the rest. There's no substitutes in Judaism. Hashem says, I want you. Don't get pictures from me. Don't make some giant mitzvah and forget about all the rest of the others. Hashem says, keep my Torah. Don't get distracted with all the rezaras, all the small things you could say, this is my Avodah Hashem, that's my Avodah Hashem, that's my Avodah Hashem, that's my Avodah Hashem. Connect to God in the most high level, passionate, real way. Attach it to Talmid Chachamim and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How does Shema teach us Ahavas Hashem, love for God? Because what does Shema teach us? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. He's running everything. He's our King. Hashem Echad, that King is one. One means that there is no space, time, place, action which is void of God's presence. God is always there with you in the most full, real, high-level experience. The question is, how much are you feeling that? If you experience, if you think about it, and you know, know on this day and return it to your hearts, that there's nothing in heaven and there's nothing on the ground besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that He is there in every single space, every single moment, and every single action. You are with God and you can't separate from that. That's the lesson of Shema. When I feel that God's with me at all times, He's never leaving me. He's always with me. When I'm going through the hard times, I'm going through the good times, I'm always with Hashem. He's there caring about me. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He's one. He's there with you. He's taking care of you. And you can connect Him, explains the Ramchal. You can connect to that infinite force, being, reality that's beyond this reality. Hashem, in His infinity, created a path for you to connect Him, called Torah and Mitzvahs. That should fill a person, wow, what an unbelievable Hashem. My Avinu Shema Shemayim allowed me to connect to Him, even though He's beyond this world. I should be filled with love, appreciation, emotion. V'ahavtes. Love God. Love God. Put Him in your homes. Teach Him, teach that love to your children. Put the love on your door. Mezuzahs, tefillin, put on your head and heart. Vishnantum. Teach the Torah. Teach Hashem what you love Hashem. This is the beauty that we have as a Jewish people. The beauty of Kriya Shema. The beauty of Parshas Veschanan. What is this ultimate nechama? This consolation? That despite all the horrible, deep, dark times we've been through, Hashem is always holding our hand through it all. And that means that we will eventually reach the Geula. It does not make any sense in any logical way that such a small nation, which has been targeted more than any other nation, should survive. The Romans were wiped out. The Greeks were wiped out. Germany, which once was, exists no more. The Jewish people survived through it all. And if the Jewish people survived, it means that there is a God in heaven holding their hand, taking care of them, making sure they will always be there. And not only will they always be there, they will always be connected. If we feel that, we will know in a real way, in a way which is visceral, in our fingertips, in our hearts, that Hashem loves us and Hashem will bring the Geula. We'll be able to feel and know the Ani Mamen, the Vias HaMashiach. And even though it's not coming, I'm still waiting. I'm still a chakalai. That every day it should come. How can I feel that? If I look at history and see Hashem has kept us alive and He's kept us strong in Yiddishkeit. There's always been the centers of Jewish people that everyone's attaching to. That's bringing everyone else up. Let's want the Mashiach. Let's wait for the Mashiach. Let's feel the love of Hashem. Let's feel the consolation that Hashem's holding our hand and bringing us there. And never lose hope.